You know, I've learned in life that there's some lessons that we have to repeat, because oftentimes we don't learn the lesson. And if I can just speak for myself, I think one of the greatest lessons in life that we have to learn is to really learn how to trust God. I don't know about you, maybe I'm just speaking for myself in the moment, that sometimes it seems like learning to trust God is a lifelong process. How many of you really go through? You go through trouble, you go through problems, and you say to yourself, you want to go through with your head held up like a champ, that you're gonna wrestle with the issue, and you know, you're gonna go through praising God, you're gonna go through skipping and howdy doody do it, but somehow you fail. That somehow it doesn't always come out that way. One of the greatest lessons in life that we learn, that we have to learn, is how to trust God. Turn with me in your Bibles to a sermon that I shared a couple of years ago, to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. I shared this message a couple of years ago, because the Lord laid it on my heart that there are lessons that we have to relearn. We have to learn again, because they have to be repeated, because there's some lessons that we don't learn the first time around, and sometimes the next time around, and the next time around. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and it reads as thus again to all of our guests today. We thank God for your presence. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Count it all as joy. Reverend Brown set me up for this sermon earlier this morning. He's on the same page. It's a confirmation. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Don't try to stop the pain. Let it do what it has to do, because God is working in you and me. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Your faith will be stronger in Jesus' name. I want to share from this thought, trust the process. Some of y'all remember this sermon. Trust the process. Trust the process. We know where we're coming from. Trust the process. Often it's a process. It's a process. You're going through a process. You're going through pain. You're going through, it's a process. You're going through suffering, and it's a process. This phrase, trust the process, actually came from Sam Hinkie. 2013, he was the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. Y'all, they were going through a long losing streak, and so these are the words that he shared with them, and the words I shared with you today. During hard times in life, focus on what you can control. Focus on the process rather than the outcome. Anybody ever found out this in life? Listen, when you're really going through, you know, all you want is outcome. I want immediate outcome. I want things to work out well the way I want them to work out. They oftentimes don't. But we want to rush to outcome when there is a process. And God wants you to know today, there are lessons in the process. And so don't always just focus on the outcome of a matter. Trust the process. Yeah, I remember long time ago when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And so for whatever reason, my father decided he wanted my brother and I to have swimming lessons. And so we go to neighborhood Y, indoor pool, y'all. Now let me say this. I did not want swimming lessons. I had no desire to swim. You know, I was okay to stay on dry land. But Daddy wanted us to have swimming lessons. And so I gave in, and I went down, and we go to the pool, y'all. It's an indoor pool. And now let me talk to me. Now, if the bathtub gets too full of water, I start getting nervous, you know. So we get inside this area where this indoor pool is, and y'all, to me, it was like an ocean. I'm 6 or 7 years old. I'm thinking, there's got to be some sharks in there somewhere. Something just going to get you. I did not want to get into the water. I cried. But Daddy was there. He said, "You get in the water." And so I get into the water, y'all, and so I have to go through process. And so we get into this cold water. Man, get into a pool when it's cold. That's the hardest part of swimming, y'all. Just getting past that cold part of die, getting into the water. So I get into the pool and I follow the instructions of the coach. You know, I hold my nose. It's about 3 feet of water, y'all. About 3 feet. I hold my nose and I go under and I come back up. Go under, and he's getting me used to the water. After that, we go through the process of, now hold your breath and just go down and come back up. Hold your breath and come back up. After a while, y'all, hold the side of the pool and stretch your body out, begin to kick your legs. I'm going through process. But I didn't want to go through the process. I'm looking at outcome. And the outcome for me, I'm going to drown. But don't we feel that way sometimes? That you're standing on one edge of a problem and you're looking out and the problem seems like an ocean. It seems like it's too much for you to handle. And you feel like when you start moving through the process, you feel like you're gonna drown. And you're looking at outcome, you want to get to the other side. And oftentimes when it's like that, our outcome mentality is something negative. It's, I don't want to go because I know this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It's not going to work out the way I want it to work out. But listen, we have to go through process. Like a six-year-old boy swimming with swimming lessons, we dread trouble. I don't know anybody in the house today that can say, I love to be in trouble. That we hate getting in trouble. We don't ask for trouble. We don't want trouble. And we can be so focused on the outcome that we fail to engage in the process. Perhaps God is trying to teach you and me something in the process. He is the God of the process. Can we trust the God of the process to take us through process? Yeah. That you're dealing with a health crisis. We want to be on the other side of the health crisis. But there's a process. That you're dealing with marital problems. And you really want to be on the other side of those marital problems. But can you trust God in the process to get to the other side? Or will you quickly just say, it's over, I'm divorcing you, we're done and we're through. That your job was terminated and you're waiting on another job. And you have to fill out resume after resume and you get refused time after time. But the process is necessary. Look for God in the process. Look for the lessons in the process. Again, we know all too well that we don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find us whether we're looking for it or not. But have you noticed in Scripture how these people, these mighty giants, as we call them, of faith, that they had to go through process before they received the outcome and the blessing that God had for them? Think about Abraham for a minute. That God told him that he would be the father of many nations. But here his wife is, she's barren. She cannot have a child. And y'all, and it was a minute, it was a while from the time that God gave him this promise and he actually had the child, that he had to go through process. And there was some failure in part of that process too. And we fail like that sometimes too. You know what Abraham did? Hey, listen, Sarah did. Hey, listen, it's taking too long. Let's take matters into our own hand. And so Sarah told Brother Abraham, you see her over there? Ain't no women would do that today. Baby, we just ain't gonna have no kids. Y'all get the point. But people that had to go through process, Jacob had to go through process, that he had a brother named Esau that he had to face one day. That Joseph had to go through process, that he had to go from the pit to Potiphar's house, that he had to go to prison before he actually got to the palace and he helped Israel out and God used him to save a nation as a whole. They had to go through process. Y'all, we have to learn to trust the process, that God will allow us to go through trials, whether we want to go through them or not. And it's important to remember, listen, God is not the one that's doing the do. You read down in James chapter 1, verse 13, that God blesses those who patiently endure testing. But is it God is not the tempter. But God uses the temptation for your good and for my good. We have to go through the process. And we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. But in that purpose, y'all, we got to go through pain sometimes. We have to go through trouble. We hate problems. But God uses it for our good. And so here's what I want you to know. We can trust God's sovereign process for spiritual progression. You can write that down if you want to. I know we don't have slides behind us. I want you to focus on me today. Focus on the Word of God today. We can trust God's sovereign process for spiritual progression. God is in control of your process. Whatever you're going through right now, God is in control. Think about this for a minute. Because it doesn't make sense to us that God is good. Why would he allow us to go through some of the things that we go through? Why would he allow us to be in trouble, y'all? Think about this. If you want to become more patient, what will God allow in your life? He's going to give you opportunity. As James said, you have an opportunity. The newlyweds are here. Hey, good morning. Natasha, good morning. You have to go through some stuff, y'all. If you want to be more long-suffering, guess what? God will present opportunities for you to suffer long. How many in the house say, it's not one thing, or it's one thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing. You're dealing with folks sometimes that it's long-suffering, y'all. You're going through with some folk in your life. Don't look around. Look at me today. When it comes to self-control, God will allow you to be placed in some circumstances that are out of control, y'all. So you can practice self-control and discipline. So what does God use to help us develop our faith, our prayer life, our word life, and our fellowship with other believers? Guess what he uses, y'all? Trouble. Trouble. The book of James, y'all, James talks about a living faith. The book of James is the Proverbs of the New Testament, because James believes in a practical salvation. You cannot only talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk. James would say, what good does it do you to say that I have faith, but I don't have the action? That you got to back it up, not just with work, but with actions, is what James would say when it comes to a life of salvation and faith. The proof of our faith presents the real change in our lives. By divine design and by the power of faith, it's made stronger through our struggles, and I want you to get that today. Somebody's struggling right now. You're going through some changes right now. You're in process right now, but God is with you in the process, and God wants you to go through the process and do well. He wants you to start relearning some stuff, y'all. You got to stop. He wants you to learn something today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this, Our present troubles are small and won't last, but they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Trouble is not just working on you. That your trouble is working for you and me. In troubles, we can do what we can focus on the process. We can focus on God, and God will see us through to the outcome. The outcome may not necessarily be what you want it to be, but God will see you through to the outcome. And so what can we do? What's within our control? What can we handle? What would God have us to do when we are going through troubles? What opportunities do we have before us? First thing is this. We can control our attitude. Say it with me. Attitude. We can control our attitude. Look at verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. There's something about joy that has to have attitude in it somewhere. That when we're going through trials, when we're going through tribulations, do we go through with joy? We have to understand what joy means too. Joy means that our focus is on God. That our eyes are constantly watching God, not the peripheral, not what's going around us, not the big old swimming pool, the big old ocean, there's sharks in there, there's problems in there. We focus on God. When we focus on God, we can have joy. And that word joy is a lot like the word grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. And we can have joy when we focus on the God who has favor and love for us. But it's about the attitude. We have no control over a lot of things that happen in our lives. Some things we have control over, some things. Some things we cause ourselves. That's what I want to say. No nodding heads now. Come on, be real with me now. That there's trouble that comes in our lives. We have no control over that whatsoever. But some of the trouble, y'all, let's be honest, we bring, amen, is my amen. We bring it on ourselves. But for the most part, we don't get to schedule trouble in our lives. You don't get a chance to put out a calendar and say, oh, God, I tell you, Tuesday at 12 o'clock noon, that's a good time for some trouble. Yeah. Don't schedule my problem for Friday night. I got too much to do. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Listen, we count our blessings that bring us joy. And our joy is about focusing on God. His goodness and his unmerited favor, to know that he's with us. But we have to consider our troubles as an opportunity for that joy to come and for us to grow in our faith. We have to have the right attitude. Don't look around, look at me. Does anyone in the house know somebody that they don't have to open their mouths for you to know that they're going through? Yeah, look at me. I mean, they don't have to say a word. You can see them from a distance, and here they come at you. Oh, Lord, what's going on with them now? Face all tuned up and, something's going on. But y'all know what? But there's some folk I know in this house today. Man, they go through and they go through hard, and you would never know it. Because that's what they're doing. They'll still say hallelujah and amen. They're still praising God. They're still lifting up holy hands. You would never know. They have the right attitude. Attitude is everything when it comes to going through our troubles and our trials. Next time you start tripping because of your trouble, do a baggage check on your attitude. Pack some praise in there. When you're going through, say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. God is a good God. Yes, he is. Pack some praise in there. Listen, whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, you have to change your mindset when you're going through trials. Your mind has to be focused on the word and the things of God. So what's your attitude like right now? What are you dealing with? What problems are you going through? And have you checked your attitude lately? Not only that, in addition, we can allow testing to develop our endurance. Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Wow. When faith is tested, our endurance, our patience, our steadfastness, our commitment to God, our commitment to the things of God has a chance to grow. That our faithfulness is more faith-filled. We can say like the songwriter, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Yeah, yeah. What are you going through in this present moment that's moving you? That's causing you to shift away from God, to shift away from his word, to shift away from prayer. And your focus is on what you're going through. Your focus is on your trouble. If only we see trouble as a nuisance, y'all. Something that's undesirable. Something that we don't want. If that's all we see it as, it can never really have any results in our lives. But when we see it as an opportunity to trust God, to hold God to his word. He said we can ask and seek and we can knock. When we do that, y'all, we can go through strong. We can allow testing to develop our endurance. Think about this. For you all that work out. That you lift weights? No, I don't. Some of y'all say, yeah, we can look and we can tell. We know that. But think about it. Iron Mike, that when you're under that 200 pounds, 250 pounds of pressure, and you're on that, Brother Terrell, on that barbell, listen, it's pressure. That doesn't feel real good. But you know one thing it's doing, it's developing your muscles. And the same thing happens with our faith, that when trials come our way, that we have to press y'all, that we have to lift y'all, that it serves a purpose and it makes our faith stronger. We can allow testing to develop our endurance. I think about the nation of Israel and how God told them, you know, to go out into the desert. He was taking them to the promised land, and y'all, they were out there for a long time. As a matter of fact, y'all, they circle around in the desert for some 40 years, just going in circles. And finally, you look in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 2 through 8. God told them, stop going in circles. It's time to stop and go a certain path and go towards the promised land. Why would God allow them to go in circles for so long? They were going through process. God was developing something in them. God was teaching them how to trust him. And finally, God says, stop going in circles and head towards the promised land. There's some of us in here today, listen, God has got you going in circles. Because you've yet to learn the lesson that God wants you to learn. You think going through some of the same things over and over and over again. Stop going in circles. Trust God and prepare to walk in his promises. But you have to do it based upon obedience and trusting God. We can allow testing to develop our endurance. I want you to know this too. We can ask God for wisdom. That's what verses 5 through 8 focus on. Let me read that for you. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Y'all, in troubles, in trials, in problems, we need wisdom. He will not rebuke you. Some verses, he will not upbraid you. God won't be mad at you for asking him wisdom and guidance. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind, y'all. So this really speaks of the ability to make good decisions, wise decisions, when we're going through struggles, when we're going through pain, and we're going through problems. Anybody ever wavered in your faith? Okay, I'm by myself. Anybody ever had a divided mind? Anybody in your best attempt to try to figure out some stuff, you know, you pulled out the piece of paper, you wrote down the pros and the cons, and one side looked better than the other, you made the decision, it was a wrong decision. Because oftentimes we make decisions based upon us. We make decisions based upon the lust of our flesh and what we wanted, and we're looking for our desired outcome. When sometimes we have to slow our roll and we have to trust the process and we have to talk to God, we have to go down on our knees to God in prayer and ask God for wisdom, and God will never be mad at you or me for asking him to help us. Yes, he is. Anybody ever ask somebody else for some wisdom, to drop you some knowledge, to help you out on something, only to go back and say, what in the world I asked them for? What sense does it even make to ask certain people for certain information, for wisdom and knowledge, and they haven't even been through it? So why do you want to go to a marriage counselor and talk about and they ain't never been married in their life? Why do you want advice from somebody that has no children, but they want to tell you everything about how you ought to rear your child? Why do I want to talk to you about how to handle money and you broke? That's what I love about God. That God is all knowing and he's all wise. That I can go to his word. I can say, God, I need some help with this situation. God, I don't understand, but God, I know that you do. And God, I'll delve into your word and whatever you say to me, God, if you want to speak through your word, speak in prayer, speak through other believers, oh God, speak through my circumstance. God, I'll listen to you because I need your wisdom. So we don't have to run around rebuking everything, mad about everything, all that we're going through. Maybe God is trying to teach you something in your process. And God has a history of meeting the needs and answering our prayers. That he's good just like that. He did for Solomon, King Solomon, when when God was telling us, you have to lead Israel now. Well, what do you want from me, Solomon? Just give me some wisdom. And sometimes I think that'll be our prayer. God, just give me wisdom in this situation. God gave him wisdom and money. I would want that too. Thank you, God. Yeah, I'll take them both. But God gave him wisdom. Think about blind Bartimaeus going through his process to his healing. Folk were telling him to shut up. but blind Bartimaeus, I'm not going to shut up. Jesus, thou son of David, I need you. I want to see. Process. Process. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to go through process. Then she had to press her way through the crowd. That's process. Do you want to press your way? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want the outcome? Are you willing to go through process? Are you willing to go through the pain? Are you willing to go through the struggle? Are you willing to go through the tribulation to get to the outcome? As we go through process in times of trouble, we have to control our attitude and allow testing to be productive in our lives and ask God for wisdom. And finally this, y'all, we'll be done. We can celebrate God now for the after. Look with me at verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you love him? Do you really love him? If you love him, that means that you will trust him. If you trust him, that means that you will obey him. That God promises a reward for an enduring faith. And y'all, listen, we're running for our lives from here to eternity. And from day to day and from moment to moment, we never know what we'll have to deal with. We never know what problems we will go through, what will creep in on our lives. But I believe this, in every situation, God just simply uses it as a process to grow us in him, to make our faith stronger in him, our prayer life stronger in him, our study of the word stronger in him. But here's what I love about God, that the real reward that we get from God is this crown of life, crown of life. Let me explain that. The Greco-Roman games, that when someone won the game, they would get this thorn that they place on there, this crown that they place, this braided crown they place on their head. Listen. I today, y'all, when you at the Olympics, they want money now. They don't just a crown to go on your head. But that was the reward. But that was a great reward for them. That meant that they had victory. That they won the game. And God is able to give us victory, but I just believe this, that the process is so important. Why? Because God is with us in the process, and that's why we can celebrate, we can praise God now for the after. The prize is coming, the victory is coming, the reward is coming, but we can praise God right now because we know what's coming in the after. So, 6-year-old boy, 7 years old, at the swimming pool, y'all. After a few weeks of going through these lessons, it was time for testing day. And so we had to swim from one side of the pool to the other side, the short side now. And I didn't want to do it. There I stood at the edge of the pool. Y'all, I'd gone through process. I still didn't want to swim to the other side of the pool. And somebody, I don't know whether it was my daddy or my brother, somebody nudged me, y'all, and I went over into the pool. And y'all, the process that I learned instinctively began to kick in. I began to shoot. I began to swim, y'all. I'm trying to make it to the other side. But you know what? It wasn't just the fact that I'd gone through process that enabled me to get from one side to the other. All the time that I'm swimming from one side of the pool to the other, the coach is right there in front of me. He tell me, you're going to make it. Come on, Kevin, you're going to make it. Come on, I'm with you, Kevin. He was in the water with me. I want you to know that God is in the struggle with you. God is in the pain with you. God is in the tribulation with you. And all that, he said, come on, you gonna make it. You gonna make it. Come on, keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. You gonna make it to the other side. You gonna make it through you. You gonna make it out. God is with you in the process. And maybe you feel like you're in deep water right now, that you're in a struggle, that your problem is over your head and you cannot handle it. But Derek, I want to let you know, God is with you in the struggle. God is with you in the pain. God is with you in the process. And God won't leave you. That's his promise to you and to me. And so we can ask, we can seek, we can knock, and we can trust God with the process. But even more, we can trust God because he's the God of the process. Will you trust God with your process? Amen. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for your word today. Right now in this very moment, I don't have to be prophetic, it's just a reality. The number of people in the room right now, somebody's going through a struggle. And it's hard. Whether it's a health crisis, a financial crisis, a relational crisis, they're going through a process, oh God. And right now, perhaps their focus is on outcome more than anything. But help them, help us, oh God, to see you in the process. The God that when troubles come, it's an opportunity for us to consider it pure joy, to count it all as joy. Because the struggle, because the problem is working out for our good when you allow it, when we allow you to work in our circumstances. It allows our faith the opportunity to grow, to be more committed to you, to be more committed to your word. And as James says, to be perfect and complete, to be mature, to lack nothing in our faith walk with you. God, grow us in our faith. And when we ask that, God, we know you're going to allow us to go through some struggles. Help us to press, to lift it, to swim it. You said in your word, God, that we can go through the waters, but we won't drown. We can go through the fire, but we won't be burned because you're with us in the process. God, I pray for everyone that's here today, everyone that's tuned in. God, there are many lessons that we have to relearn, we have to take again in life. Many tests we have to retake because we don't learn the first time. And again, we go through things. But when it comes to trusting you, help us in this moment, oh God, to really do that, to simply trust you, to let go, to say, God, you're in control. Have your way in my life. I give myself away to you. Operate in my life as you choose, oh God, and I will obey because I trust you and I trust your process. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Perhaps there's someone here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to extend this opportunity, as we say in the church, this opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. We extend to you the opportunity of salvation. And salvation is all about simply trusting God. That we don't get merit with God. We don't get credit with God by the things that we do. The Bible says that there's none good, no, not one. That the only way that we come into a real relationship with God, the Father, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's believing that what he did in the scriptures was for your salvation and mine, that he died. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power. If you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, God wants you to do that today. That you admit, we admit that we're all sinners, that we confess our sins to God, and we believe that God sent his son Jesus to save our lives, that he died for us, he rose again for us. And when we believe that, the Bible, that saves us, it settles it. You may not feel like it. They say you look at your hands and they look new, your feet, they do too. I have yet to see that. But it's true, the word of God is true, that you are saved from the moment that you really confess and believe what Jesus did for you. So if you are here today, we extend this offer to you. If you are online today, we extend this offer to you. God wants you to trust him, to trust his son for salvation.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.